As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The prime thing is you have to win. You have to win. Otherwise, you can't be a success in professional football.
Every single day I come in here, I think about winning. You know, I don't do this year-round to come in and not make the playoffs. I'm sick of that shit, and I want to keep winning.
You're listening to The State of the Nation with Jimmy Durkin, Vic Tafer, Tashawn Reed, and Ted Nguyen on the Athletic Podcast Network.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of State of the Nation here on the Athletic Podcast Network. I am Jimmy Durkin, joined, as always, by Vic Tafer, Tashawn Reed, and Ted Nguyen. Ready to get you set for Week 3. Raiders will be taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday Night Football. Coming off a trip to Buffalo that wasn't pretty. The first drive looked nice for the second straight week. They've got that opening script down, and then it was all downhill after that. They lose by 28 in Buffalo. The Bills coming off their season opening loss. They look pretty much like the Bills, what we expected. And the Raiders, that defense was not the turnover ball-hawking defense that you guys saw in training camp.
Yeah, man, they had me fooled. They started with the touchdown, but then they got a three and out, too. I'm like, oh, man, this is – Raiders might be cooking with gas, and then it just blew up in their face. So, it was a rough day for the defense. They didn't necessarily play well against the Broncos, I don't think. It was just kind of a weird game with, like, not that many
positions. The Broncos are not good.
Yeah, the Broncos are not that good. Yeah, I mean, the defensive line really couldn't do much against the pass or the run. I know we focus on the pass rush a lot, but, I mean, the Bills, who aren't really known for, like, running down people's throats, you know, pretty much had their way. And then that, you know, took control of the game in the second half there. Secondary, like they were okay in moments, but I think it's tough on them when there's just really no pass rush coming. And so against a quarterback like Josh Allen and the offense is explosive at the Bills, it just got out of hand pretty quickly.
Yeah, I mean, they spent a week in West Virginia, kind of did some team bonding, and you thought for a second there that it might have been the magic touch, but the Bills are a lot better. It was pretty obvious on both sides of the ball. I think I thought the Raiders would be able to run the ball. They were not even close, and therefore they had no shot. So, and then you watch the tape afterwards. I think Jimmy missed some throws. I think he said that afterwards. He made some mental and physical mistakes that kind of didn't allow them to get back in the game when they had a chance to. So I think there's a lot of things to learn from. I'm being positive now. Like, it's early in the season. It's a new team. So this week will be a good test. They're playing a team, the Steelers, at home opener. Steelers are not good offensively. So the defense, Haley, has no excuse this week not to play better and make some plays. Otherwise, it could be a long season.
Going back and reviewing a game, you know, start off defensively. Like you guys said, I thought the secondary played better than average. I mean, they weren't the problem. There's a lot of plays where they had really tight coverage, but they just couldn't hold up against Josh Allen with no pass rush. I mean, there was a bunch of times where Allen just made plays that sometimes he's got to tip the hat to him. I mean, you know, he was able to break away from free rushers and find passing lanes that very few quarterbacks can hit. Some interesting things I thought from the secondary was they were having Jacorian Bennett follow Stephon Diggs around in certain situations, which kind of tells you what they think about Bennett. They think of him as a number one corner. If you're having him follow a guy like Diggs around. So that's a good sign. And he had a couple of really nice plays against Diggs too, but it's Stephon Diggs. And anytime you're one-on-one with a guy like that, there's times where he's going to win. But I thought it was a good game overall for Bennett and a good learning experience for him. I thought Trayvon Morig played pretty well. He had two goal line knockdowns against first round pick Dalton Kincaid. So that was good to see. I thought they were trying to blitz Josh Allen and the blitzes were getting home. They were getting free rushers, but they just couldn't bring down Josh Allen. So it was a tough situation defensively and offensively. You guys covered it. I mean, there was throws that Jimmy Garoppolo missed and he was trying to throw the ball deep, but that's just not his strength. I mean, you know, he tried to throw a goal line fade to Davante Adams when the ball should have been over his shoulder. He just missed him on another one. And man, that last one to Davante Adams, I know that Adams is not blaming Jimmy Garoppolo for that pass, but I mean, to throw the ball with that much air in the middle of the field with three defenders surrounding Adams, bad things are going to happen. You can't do that. And anybody who's watched Jimmy Garoppolo knows that he does this a lot. You know, it was a problem with the Niners and it happened here in this game. So it's a tough situation. You can't do that to your wide receivers. And another note, one more note I had was Rotten. The right guard is just terrible. I mean, he gets tossed around. Yeah, so I don't know what they're going to do. I felt like Alex Barrs wasn't great last year, but he was better. But Rotten, I mean, he might be a bottom three guard in the league.
First off, it's Van Rotten, not just Rotten. I don't know what you think. Ooh. I know you think he's rotten, but he's very
my
rotten.
Note was rotten looks rotten.
And I'm not sure if he's worse than Alex Barrs.
Have they lowered the bar?
All right. I mean, I definitely Van Rotten didn't have a good game, so we'll see how he does. But I thought he was an upgrade over Barrs. Not this week, obviously. But yeah, I mean, obviously the offensive line didn't do a great job run blocking.
That's a problem. I mean, the offensive line, they looked like they regressed from last season. I don't know. I mean, the Bills defensive they have good defensive tackles, but it's not like these guys are all pros. You know, they're better than average. They're plus starters, but they're not like star defensive tackles. It didn't even look like they were getting off the ball. Like it looked like they were just stepping in place and the interior was terrible. I mean, another situation is that Josh Jacobs saw a ton of open field coverage, two deep safety coverages with light boxes last year. And, you know, 45% of his yards came against light boxes, two deep safety defenses. And that was because defenses were respecting Davante Adams' ability to win deep and Carr's willingness to throw the deep ball. But they just don't respect Jimmy Garoppolo's ability to throw the deep ball because the Bills are typically a two high defense, but the majority of the game they're in one high. They were just like, you know, Garoppolo, if you can beat us, you can beat us. The Raiders are going to see those type of defenses all year. So they're not going to see those light boxes anymore. So far this season, Josh Jacobs only has 5 rushes against two deep coverages. So that's going to be a problem all year.
You just look at the Jordan Poyer quote from after the game that we knew we had to stop the run. That was our biggest emphasis throughout the week. We knew that if we could get them into a passing type situation game, we would feast. Kind of tells you all you need to know about how they thought about Jimmy Garoppolo throwing the ball.
So we're saying the Jimmy Garoppolo honeymoon is over already? It's only been 2 weeks and the bliss is gone?
I don't know. Like I feel like we've thoroughly critiqued this offseason. I don't know when we were like full steam ahead with, you know, this change that they made at quarterback, but like this is the result of it. I mean, you know, he's just not known as a deep ball thrower. And like Ted said, I mean, teams don't feel like they have to respect it as much. And it's only 2 weeks, but through 2 weeks, that's proven to be true. I mean, you know, Josh Jacobs last year, you know, I think a lot of it, you know, while the run blocking was better than it's been so far, a lot of it was just him creating something out of nothing, making multiple guys miss in the backfield, breaking a bunch of tackles. And that's a little bit easier to do when, you know, it's too high and there aren't as many people in the box. But if there's a bunch of people in the box and your run blocking isn't good, like, what is he supposed to do? You know, he kind of famously said it in that, and then they made the playoffs that year, that 2021 year. He's like, you know, doesn't know what the hell he's supposed to do when there's nowhere to run. And so it kind of puts him in a tough bind where he has to be Superman just to not get negative rushing yardage, apparently. And that just adds even more pressure on Garoppolo's shoulders. And so it's a tricky spot for the offense, you know, unless the offensive line, you know, really steps it up or Garoppolo suddenly becomes a deep ball thrower. It might be kind of tricky when it comes to getting that run game going.
Well, at least Garoppolo is trying to throw deep. he didn't do that at all against the Niners. At least he's trying to take those shots, and maybe he finds some timing with the back shoulder balls. But he's not going to hit those really deep ones. I mean, Trey Tucker got pretty open for a touchdown, but he underthrew him. But some positives. Trey Tucker, I thought, looked pretty good as a route runner, and you could see his speed kind of just jump off the film. I mean, he's going to be able to create separation. One more positive is the Raiders are the third lowest team as far as 3-and-out rate in the league. So there's that. So
they haven't allowed a sack yet, right? No sacks.
Yeah. Haven't allowed a sack. So they're doing a few things well. I think this Bills defense is pretty good, but there'll be games where the offense shows up and they're able to move the ball. It's just, there's a limited ceiling.
I think we're looking at a team that just week to week, we're not really going to know what to expect. I mean, again, we said it earlier, the Broncos win. I mean, that's, hey, you go on the road and win in week one, a win's a win in the NFL. You take that, you're happy with it. But I don't think any of us think too highly about the Broncos. Now you get the Steelers, who are a team that through 2 weeks, I mean, it took them in the opener, it took them until their fifth possession to get a first down. And then on Monday night, it took them until their fourth possession to get a first down. I mean, there was a lot of Kenny Pickett hype in the preseason that Vic was not buying. And I think, Vic, your picks this year have been trash, but at least you were right on Kenny Pickett.
I'm not always wrong. How's that for a motto? I'm not always wrong.
10% of the time, I guess.
Vic knows how to pick trend, sleeper wide receivers, and yep. He knows how to spot the crappy quarterbacks.
Other than that, I got nothing for you.
The Steelers, I mean, they have the worst offense in the league right now. I mean, it's not particularly close. I think they're averaging, in terms of like points scored on offense, they have a couple of defensive touchdowns. I think it's 9.5 points per game right now, which is pretty miserable. Obviously, they've played a couple pretty good defenses, and so we'll see if this Raiders defense that hasn't been too good so far is able to have some more success this week. If not, pretty miserable sign for them, for their chances of turning it around this season. But something that's been interesting, and, we've kind of always just penciled in the Steelers as having a good defense. Like, their rush defense has been, like, awful. Like, they're 32nd in total yards allowed and yards per carry allowed. And so, we just got done talking about the Raiders not being able to find much of a run game. I mean, they can't do it this week. I don't know what to say. I mean, the Steelers are, like by far the worst team in the league against the run right now. So this seems like a get right week for the Raiders, in the sense, at home, Sunday Night Football against a team that can't score any points and can't stop the run. Like, that should be right up their alley to go get a win this week.
It's hard to read too much into the yards per carry this early in the season. I mean, I don't think they're very good anyway, but I mean, like, Christian McCaffrey, I think, had a 65 yard touchdown run in the opener against them, and that's just, I mean, McCaffrey's been probably one of the five best offensive players in the league so far.
Nick Chubb, destroyed his leg, and then some guy I never heard of went for 100 yards in like 2.5 quarters. So, I mean,
you never heard of Jerome Ford? Come on, man. Put some respect on Jerome Ford's name, man.
I mean, 102 quarters, man. I'm just saying.
Missing Cam Hayward hurts that defensive line for sure. And I'm sure they're missing Robert Spillane as well. That really hurts their run defense.
Look at that smile. Look at that was low, man. That was even for you, that was low, man.
The statistics on the Steelers look pretty terrible. I mean, there's a funny chart. The x-axis is rush EPA per play, and then the y-axis is pass EPA per play. And then, you have all these teams in the middle of the chart and elite teams to the top right. And then all the way in the bottom left are the Steelers and Matt Canada's offense. Like, they are by far the worst offense. But they also play the Niners and they play the Browns, two defenses that are probably going to end up in the top five by the end of it. And they also play two pretty good rushing attacks against the Niners and the Browns. So some of these numbers, they're probably not as bad as it looks right now, because they play two elite teams in those two areas we talked about. But I mean, we'll see against the Raiders. I mean, if the Raiders could take advantage of their inability to defend a run and stop their offense, then we'll know who they really are. But, I think the numbers are a little skewed right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing the Raiders need to do offensively, in the passing game, is they've got to try to mix it up with their targets. I mean, we saw in the opener, it was basically Davante Adams and Jacoby Myers was pretty much all, and then to Josh Jacobs out of the backfield. I mean, and that's what it was on Sunday. 8 targets to Adams, 6 to Jacobs, and then, Amir Abdullah with 3, so like 9 targets to your running backs. Austin Hooper had two catches. Michael Mayer did get his first NFL catch. He's got 1 catch for 2 yards through two NFL games. You know, and then, you know, some finally Hunter Renfrow got his first target of the season in garbage time. They're not mixing it up, and they're not, you know, they're not developing other threats. And if you know that he's not, that Garoppolo is not going to be able to hurt you deep, and you know that he's more often than not either going to throw it to Davante Adams or Josh Jacobs, it's just really hard to develop something offensively if people aren't respecting your other weapons.
Or you can just throw to Jacobs like 25 times and then see how that goes.
You have Jacobs on your fantasy team, don't you?
No, I'm just saying. Obviously, that's the one thing that's working for this offense, and I think that it's going to be there based on the way defenses are playing. So, I mean, instead of giving him all the carries, give him the catches.
Is Jakobi Meyers still in concussion protocol?
Practice limited yesterday, so he's still – it was listed concussion, so he's technically still in protocol. Like, he hasn't been fully cleared to be at full contact – or not contact in practice, but full go for the game. But it seems like he's, like, taking steps towards trending towards being able to play on Sunday. I wonder how much of it comes down to trust level, maybe, between Garoppolo and receivers. Like, I noticed this in his first year here, so it's not like he's, like, been with these guys for years. But it seems like he has really strong chemistry with Adams and Myers and everybody else. It's kind of just, you know, because, you know, some of it is guys just getting open. But, you know, even McDaniels, you know, said that there were some plays where Renfrow was open and he just got missed. Or I remember one pass where DeAndre Carter, you know, seemed to be open and then got thrown pretty short of him. And so, you know, it seems like a mix of maybe Garoppolo trusting a couple guys over others, and, you know, maybe guys just not winning one-on-ones as much as they need to.
This was the game where if Hunter Renfrow is ever going to establish himself in his offense, this was the game to do it. And, you know, he didn't have his first – was it his first target in the fourth quarter when he got his catch too? Yeah, he didn't get his first target until they were down 28 in the fourth quarter. So, I mean, it's just hard to see how he's going to establish himself in this offense, especially when Jakobi Meyers is back and, you know, seeing Trey Tucker, you know, his ability to separate. I think he's going to find a role in this offense eventually too. So it's just hard to see Hunter ever really establishing himself. And if he's not able to establish himself, there are, you know, quite a few teams that might be able to use him. So, you know, I wonder if he'll be back on the trade block. And yeah, I mean, it's just no point in just keeping him, you know, on the bench, not doing anything, especially when you had a game where you needed him with an injury and you didn't use him.
Yeah, I can't imagine he's on this roster after the trade deadline, right? I mean, it would seem like if you're not using him and you're paying him, you know, all that money, I mean, you might as well see what you can get for him.
See him in New Orleans with his old buddies.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they take a little bit of a dead money hit if they trade him, but at this point, like, you aren't using them.
Hey, when you're non-contending, really you don't really care about dead cap hits. It's not like they need to save money to load up.
Yeah, not exactly boosting his value either, but, like, you know, the usage of him so far. But, like, you know, at this point, what are we thinking? Day three pick? But, I mean, something's better than nothing, I guess.
It's weird. He's going to go from a fifth-round pick who suddenly became this great value for them, developed in the Pro Bowl, gets an extension to, like, traded for a sixth or seventh-round pick. They got great value out of that pick at one time, and then they're just going to waste it.
You know, they said he was a big part of the game plan, but for quite a few snaps in his game, he was running routes that were kind of known as runoff routes, where he's not really part of the progression. You know, I don't know how they're teaching these plays, but classically, typically in these type of plays, he's not part of the progression. He's just trying to run off the defense, create space for other receivers. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know what he did to wrong the staff, but I don't feel like they want to get him the ball.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We will talk about the Chandler Jones situation. Some, I wouldn't call it resolution, but, you know, development in it. Obviously, on Wednesday, the Raiders placed him on the non-football illness list, which does allow them to get that roster spot back. They can fill the roster spot. And hopefully that it's a sign that, you know, there has kind of been a connection between him and the team, and that he's working toward getting help for whatever is going on. I mean, we can't speculate on exactly what's going on. I mean, we all kind of see the nature of the social media posts that are kind of all over the place. But hopefully this is a sign that that he's get some help for whatever's going on, and that the Raiders are going to be able to try to make things right with him, and we'll see what happens. But non-football illness list, so at least there's not kind of that mystery hanging out there of him just taking up a roster spot and not really knowing what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, we can't really say too much, say anything with too much certainty about like why, you know, he's placed on the list. But I think the only thing that's clear is it's something that's bigger than football at this point. Like that seems to be pretty apparent. And like for people that don't know the difference between the non-football injury list and the illness list, injury like obviously is a physical injury, whereas the illness list can be some sort of other personal reason besides that. It could be literally being sick. It could be mental health. It could be a various family tragedy. It could be a variety of things. And so, you know, it's kind of this pretty wide umbrella, but basically it frees up the Raiders a roster spot, and it works the same way pretty much as injured reserve. And so Chandler Jones has to miss at least 4 games before he's eligible to come back, if he is able to come back at some point this season. And so basically what it does for the Raiders is give them a roster spot, but still leaves the door open for Jones to potentially return at some point if things are able to get resolved.
Yeah, we don't know what triggered this. Obviously, we don't know the whole cause and effect, and we don't know what he's going through, but clearly Chandler was not in a good place. So maybe this helps him get there. Maybe he can, you know, stop with the post, how he wants to play this week, every week, and all these weird things that he says. And the team, I think, has to move on, and this is the first step in doing that. You know, it's a 4-week thing, but can't imagine. I mean, he's back on the roster this year based on what went down, but who knows? But so, yeah, I think they got to figure out, how he can be happier, and the same with them. And obviously they got to replace him, and I'm not sure that guy's on the roster right now. We haven't seen much out of Kuntz, and Terry Wilson has not played well. I think that's safe to say so far. So maybe bring a veteran guy in. Maybe if you are trying to, like, I think you owe it to the other guys on the team, the star players, to, like, you know, you got to bring somebody in that can kind of maybe help fill that role, because they're getting no pass rush. And I'm not saying Chandler Jones was a great player last year, but he definitely has missed. He definitely would have helped a little bit the last 2 weeks. So you got to bring somebody in who can, I think, at least get some pressure and maybe help set the edge a little bit on the other side for Max Crosby.
Kyle Van Noy is still out there. He knows the system, and he's always pretty effective wherever he goes. So, you know, maybe that's a name to look out for. But yeah, Tyree Wilson has not looked good. And I think part of it is this is basically his training camp right now. He has no training camp. You know, he was doing bag drills when we saw him against the Rams, and now he's ramped up into having to play a significant role for this team. And we always said from the beginning that he's a developmental guy. When he's playing, he's just so tentative. Like, he's just thinking way too much. You know, I know a lot of fans are pretty down on him right now, but he's just got so much swimming in his head right now. It's hard for him to play. So this is not a good representation of who Tyree Wilson really is, in my opinion.
Yeah, but I almost feel like he needs those reps to work through that, you know, like given how limited his experience has been without having OTAs, without having much of training camp, one preseason game, like he needs reps. I mean, we talked about it, obviously it's different, but like Trey Lance, like, you know, if a guy's raw and you know, has a lot of tools but isn't quite sure how to use them, yet, you know, really there's no way to replicate it outside of getting out there and getting some time. And I mean, he spent the number 7 pick on him, man. Like, I mean, like this should be an opportunity for him. Obviously, when they drafted him, this wasn't the plan. They wanted him to spend a year behind Crosby and Jones, but this should be something where, you know, give him those reps and let him work through it. And the results might not be pretty early on, but you would hope that they get better as the season goes on, unless, you know, it's just a complete mistake has been made. And so, you know, I don't judge him too harshly for the results so far, just given how long he was out and what type of injury he was coming off of. Like we've talked about it, you know, foot injuries, especially for guys of his size, it's always tricky. That was the narrative around him coming into the draft, was he's a raw guy, he's going to take time to develop. And I feel like they should just give him room to develop.
Number 7 picks, guys that are drafted in the top 10, and you expect them to make an impact for you pretty early. And so, yeah, he's going to need some time, and nobody's going to, you know, start panicking or anything yet. But I think you're at the point where, like, all right, start, you know, show us a couple flashes here or two each game. We need to start seeing some flashes, because, I mean, if you a guy that was drafted that high, I mean, you have high expectations for him.
Yeah, I think what's concerning is, and again, it's early. We're not going to bury the kid by any means, but he had obviously a lot of shape and didn't have training camp, and the foot injury are all valid reasons for maybe a slow start. But what's a little concerning, I think, if you're a Raider fan or if you're just watching him now, is the traits they're supposed to have, the explosiveness and the power, are not showing up. I mean, they're not, and they should show up every now and then. And it seems like he's pretty easily blocked. I mean, which is also one on one, which is not a great thing for a young, you know, dominant edge rusher, which he's supposed to be. If you're a top 10 pick edge rusher, he's supposed to be a dominant guy pretty quick off the snap. And he's also slow off the snap. And that's the thing that people mentioned in college. And we saw that it wasn't as bad this week as it was last week, but you can definitely count off, like, you know, 1,000, 2,000 by the time he gets off the ball. And that's not good. So, and that could be going to be rust. It could be, you know, trying to get his feet wet, but it's a little concerning that when you watch him these first two games, he's not getting off. He's not getting off of blocks. And you don't see the explosiveness. You don't see the power, which is supposed to help him stand out at this level. Because we all know he's got some growing pains, but there were traits he's supposed to have that are supposed to come on and be in play right away.
Yeah, I think with the get off, you know, it's been the most apparent thing. Even like a casual fan could see, it just seems like he's getting off the ball pretty slow, and the numbers bear that out. I mean, according to ESPN's Next Gen Stats, you know, he's of 50. There's a pass rushers, edge rushers who played at least 50 snaps. You know, he has the fourth lowest time to get off the line of scrimmage in the entire league. And so it's taken him 1.01 seconds, and the average is 0.84 seconds. That sounds like a pretty, you know, small difference, but like that shit matters, you know, when it comes to getting after the quarterback. Like, they don't hold the ball for that long. And so it's not just something that's eye test. Like, it's true. He's getting off the ball really slowly. And especially if he's a guy that's raw and doesn't have the most refined pass rush moves, that means it's probably going to take him a little bit longer to win once he's engaged by blockers as well. And so that's just a multiplying effect that just makes it hard for him to get back there. You know, no matter how strong you are or physically talented you are, you know, just the matter of time, how quickly quarterbacks get rid of the ball, he's just not really giving himself too much of a chance to get home. And, you know, I'm sure that's more of a feel thing. That's a technique thing. That's very coachable. And, you know, you would think it could be improved with better instruction. And so this is going to be, I think, as much as it is on him to keep working hard, the coaches to be able to figure out how to develop this talent that they pick so highly.
Yeah, I mean, the Raiders clearly believe that his issues are coachable. You would think that being able to anticipate the snap is coachable, and then the second problem is his hands. So, you know, the first two things of starting a pass rush, he has to kind of rebuild, which is pretty tough. I mean, as we're going to see. So I'm going to give him a few games until I want to start seeing some flashes, but I agree. It's discouraging, but I'm still giving him time to flash a little bit before I'm a little worried. I get worried about him.
I mean, the obvious elephant in the room here is when you look at Philadelphia and you see what Jalen Carter's doing. And I mean, we know we just discussed from day one all the reasons why he was not a guy that the Raiders could or would take. He through two games has the look of a guy who's probably going to be one of the more dominant defensive tackles in this league for the next 10 years. And I know a lot of Raider fans are sitting there saying, you understand the reasons why you couldn't take him, but he's probably exactly what this defense needs right now.
Yeah, he's a dominant player. I mean, he's definitely might be defensive rookie of the year. I think it is in a great place. He landed in a great spot with a lot of veterans. They're a winning culture. He can come in. It's definitely much different than the culture with the Raiders, where they change people every year. There's new faces in defense every year. The coordinators always, for some reason, seem to struggle here. I don't know what the curses of the coordinators of the Raiders and defense is, but there's not really a lot of answers here every year. It's always questions and people wondering, you know, what the hell happened. So I think he went to the right spot. So you can't just say if he came here, he'd be doing the same things here. He is in Philadelphia. So it's a tough one. But like you said, they had no choice. I don't think they could have taken him. Just because of what happened with Ruggs, I just think it would have been a bad look and just something you really can't do.
All right, before we get into predictions here for Sunday, we're going to head to the mailbag. Fired up the old SOTN mail. Got some good questions here. And we'll start with this one. This is for Vic and Tashawn. Did Vic and Tashawn get as annoyed as us fans with some of the questions asked by other reporters? Are dudes secretly employed by the Raiders PR team? We want both positive and critical questions of players and coaches, not fluff. Thank you for being honest. And if you want that one, or are we asking Brian to cut this
you
question?
You go first, Tashawn. It's all yours.
You're putting me on the spot? Jeez. I mean, well, of course the answer is yes. I'm not going to name anybody specifically, but like, of course. I mean, it can't always be good, you know. But, you know, it kind of goes both ways. Some fans get mad at us for being overly critical and think we're going too hard. So, you know, yeah, I think it's important not to be just like, you know, antagonistic just for the sake of doing so. But when, you know, some shit isn't good, I mean, the team just lost by 30 points. They got negative rushing yards. Like, we gotta ask some tough questions, guys. And I'm sorry.
Yeah, I average, I would say, 4.7 eye rolls and what the F's every media session. So it's it is a lot. I understand where fans can kind of think, but hey, it is what it is. That's the market.
That's a pretty high rate. I mean, how many questions get asked per session? Like 15, 10, 15?
Yeah, I'm saying 15.
So that's like
30%.
About
30%,
yeah. Wow.
I have to like, I average 1.2 bites of my tongue where like I might audibly say something. Like, so it's a lot.
The decibels are where are these
coming from? It's a lot, but, you know, everyone's got their own style, so God bless them, God bless us, and let's all just persevere and we'll carry on.
This is going to be the most popular mailbag question we've ever answered. All right, we'll go on to this one from Coach Vic. He wants to know, how many sacks are the Raiders going to get this weekend versus the Steelers? He's thinking 5-plus minimum.
So I said 50 on the year, right? And they got zero so far.
Well, you started with 60.
No. I said 50. Come on, guys. 50. So we got 15 games left. So what is that, four? I need four this week. Yeah, for four.
So they're not going to get at least five. All right.
No, I got four. Four is a lot. How about a turnover? That'd be nice.
Yeah, I mean, Pickett doesn't really hang on to the ball too long. So it's going to be tough. He gets rid of the ball.
He can get rid of it to the Raiders. Get rid of
the ball to the other team.
A quick interception. Yeah, man. Steelers offense is bad, but it's just kind of hard to be optimistic about the Raiders defense right now.
And it's tough on Max because there's going to be a lot of, you know, I mean, obviously teams are going to double him and chip at him. It's going to get worse and worse. So, I mean, you think it'd be easier for someone else to make a play, either inside or another other side of the line. So I would say, you know, you need Malcolm Kuntz. He had a good preseason, hasn't done much yet in the first two games, but he's got to step up and the guys in the interior have to step up. And we talked so much about the D-line at camp and preseason. It's kind of been a bust. I mean, maybe it's time for our guy Nesta to get some snaps, but got to have somebody else because, like, Bilal Nichols, I don't know what he does. He's out there a lot. So there's a lot of guys who you got to make plays or you got to move along.
I mean, that's the big thing about not having Chandler Jones out there. We can all criticize and say what we want about what he did last season, and he wasn't very productive, but he's got a reputation. Like other teams, you know, when you hear other players talk about Chandler Jones, they talk about him with a lot of respect. I mean, he's a guy that other teams still, you know, go into and kind of know in their game plan that they have to worry about him. They've seen what he's done in the past. And so I think what you saw last year is he wasn't putting up numbers, but teams were, you know, respecting him over on that other side. And, you know, now if it's Tyree Wilson or Malcolm Kuntz, there's just not that same respect level on the other side of the defense.
Yeah, Chandler played well down the stretch last year, definitely a lot better than he had. So definitely he seemed to be making strides. So, que sera, sera.
All right, we're going to go to this question from Stephen Beach. He wants to know, how long is McDaniels and Ziegler's leash? Last year was written
damn,
off.
Damn, we are two games in?
Because McDaniels didn't have his quarterback for his system. Now he does. Ziegler didn't have a full quota of draft picks. This year he did. If this goes the way it's looking, 5-12, 6-11, what reason is there to give them both year three? We're not talking about getting rid of him now, but he wants to know about a year three, if this is the 5-12 season.
Only way they don't get a year three, I think, is if it gets really, really bad and the fans turn on them in home games. If you start seeing boos and signs, then at that point, I think Mark Davis might think you have to do something. But
didn't we see that last year?
you're giving fans the blueprint.
No. I'm not. You're giving away the blueprint.
Last season, you had guys getting kicked out with signs.
Two guys, right? Two signs. We're gonna need more than two signs. Two signs ain't gonna cut it.
All right. Are you listening, listeners?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Vic is giving you the strategy.
So this week's a big one. A home opener. They got to win this one. They got to win their home games against teams who have issues, obviously. And they have. We've talked about all the bad things in this team. There's still talent. There's some premier players in this Raiders roster. So you got to win some games. So I think Mark's trying to be patient. I think he's trying to take the long view and mention the draft picks this year. It's early. It's only week three. So let's give these guys more time. But Bennett might be a player. Tyree Wilson, we'll almost see what happens there, but I mean, he definitely has the upside. So we'll see how these guys develop over the course of the year. And if there are some young foundation pieces in place before you kind of talk about leashes and pulling collars and choking people.
What's the expectation for this team? What was the Vegas over-under on wins? 8?
It was 7.5, and it got bet down 6.5. So close to 6.5.
Yeah, so I mean, if they win somewhere around expectation, then, you know, I would expect they're back. But if they, you know, don't win a game for the rest of the year, or maybe win just one or two, maybe the seat gets a little hot. But I suspect they're going to be back. I mean this is going to be a hell of a draft class coming up next year too, if you get some high draft picks. But that's a conversation for later.
Yeah, I mean, I think it also depends, like, the nature of, because last year, you know, since they lost 18 one score games, I mean, you know, you can kind of pitch the whole idea of, like, not being
regression doesn't happen for the Raiders. It doesn't happen. Yeah,
but, like, you know, if you're getting, you know, beat by 30, 40, 25, like, down the stretch of a season, and you have 5 or 6 wins, then it gets kind of tough. But yeah, I mean, all things considered, like, I think it's pretty likely that those two at least get to year three. Will there be some coordinator changes, things of that nature? For sure. But I think those two make it to year three.
I mean, Vic, as you know, it often only takes a moment, a particular game for Mark Davis to turn. And I mean, you saw in terms of Bisaccia's fate, I think a lot of it was determined by how that playoff game went. There was an ugly taste in his mouth, especially how that last series went. Go back to Tony Sperano and the 51-0 game in St. Louis against the old St. Louis Rams. It's a lot of times it's one. He is so emotional that he's such a fan that he does let emotion kind of come into it. So that's where you just kind of, you never really know. He like you've written all offseason, he is preaching and trying really, really hard to be patient, but it only takes one kind of bad moment that puts a bad taste in his mouth. And, you know, the other thing that I think about, okay, is, you know, Ted, you talk about the draft class in 2024. Like, let's say the Raiders are that bad that they end up with the number one, number two pick. I mean, I don't know. Do you want to trust this regime to that pick? That's where you might say, like, all right, if we're going to be starting fresh, having a new, you know, rookie quarterback, we might want to find that perfect, you know, quarterback coach pairing that we really like, and we'll see what happens. But I mean, it's way too early to be talking about whether or not they're going to be in hot water, but we know how the fans work. That's, they're always going to be asking about what those guys' fates are.
Yeah, you're right. Mark is very emotional, and he's trying not to be after he's been through, you know, so many things that happened with this franchise the last decade, and even beyond that, just so many weird things. And now, you know, one of his players is posting his DMs on social media. So I'm sure Mike's like, what the hell, man? Why can't I just have it easy? Why can't I just have, like, a Heidi's Patriots guys to come in, install a winning culture? We win some games. Jimmy G, love that guy. He's Joe Cool. Why can't things be easy? It's always, I mean, it's a rough start for the Raiders and for Mark. And I think he's going to try his best, but you're right. It could, you know, snap your fingers and all could change. But, And he definitely cares about the fans. So that's why I said the fans will be they have more power than they think as far as this regime goes.
All right, guys, it is prediction time. Raiders on Let's Sunday go. Night Football against the Pittsburgh Steelers. The classic, as Vic wrote in his picks, nationally televised rematch of that dreadful Christmas Eve game that nobody asked for.
That game was so bad, and they're like, here it is again. Like, what? Who wants this?
I mean, if you want evidence about how unimpressive the Steelers were on Monday night, before that game, before the Steelers Monday night game, the Raiders were 1.5-point underdogs. And after it, with the Steelers winning, they flipped to 2.5-point favorites by the time we got to like Wednesday. So they before the Steelers played on Monday night, the Raiders were actually home underdogs, and now they are 2.5-point favorites.
They believe in the Robert Spillane revenge factor. Robert Spillane's going to have a big, big game.
What did Robert do to y'all, man?
I like Robert.
We've been hyping him up this whole pod.
I like Robert.
Pick six. Pick six, Robert Spillane.
There you go. We're calling it.
All right, Vic, what are you leading us off with, man?
I got the Raiders winning. I think it's a good matchup. I think we talked about the Steelers offense not very good. I think Kenny Pickett's not very good. Najee Harris is not what he's supposed to be. I think they have injuries. Like Deontay Johnson's a big loss for them. The one thing that they have to make sure is that George Pickens doesn't go crazy. So if they can contain George Pickens, they should be okay defensively. Ideally, they're more aggressive. They dabble with some blitzes and get some pressure on them. But Patrick Graham, you never know. And offensively, I mean, they should be able to run the ball, like you mentioned. So home opener, fans should be fired up. I think it's it should be a comfortable win. I'm going to say a 30-20 Raiders.
Ooh, 10-point win. I think, you know.
Double-digit win.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Raiders and Steelers always have weird close games. And I think this is going to be one of them, especially on Sunday night, too. I think Jacoby Myers coming back is going to be a big factor. I think he burns Patrick Peterson for a touchdown in his game. So I'll have the Raiders winning 27-24.
Now, Jimmy, I'll let you go next, and I'm deciding.
Because you guys want to do the opposite. You want the other guy to pick the Raiders, and the other guy picks the Steelers. I know what you guys are doing. Well, who's next? Let's go.
I got the Raiders. Go on board with the Raiders. Yeah, I think. I said it earlier. I think this is going to be a team that's going to be very unpredictable. You know, there's going to be, which I mean, it's going to make our record in these picks absolutely awful because they're going to be a team that's just it's really hard to know what we're going to get. But I think it might be as simple as every week they kind of flip the switch between looking good, looking bad. And I've watched the Steelers in the opener against the Niners. They looked horrible. Saw them on Monday night. I think the Raiders are a better team than them. So I'll go 30-24 Raiders.
All right, man, Deshaun. So I'll set up for you.
Yeah. You guys got some high scores over here. I think it's gonna be lower scoring. You know, I think the Steelers' pass defense, while the rush defense is bad, their pass defense has been pretty good, and the Steelers' offense sucks. So I think it's going to be more of a low-scoring game, but I think the Raiders ultimately pull out the home opener win. I got them 20-17 over the Steelers to improve to 2-1. I don't feel great about it. But,
oh, crap. We all picked them to win.
I'm changing my pick.
We all picked him to lose last week, and everyone thought that right. They were going to...
You're changing your pick from a 10-point win? From a 10-point win? How are you going to change your pick for that?
That's a huge swing there, buddy.
The peer pressure, man. You can't all pick the... That's fine. We'll all pick him. We'll see how it works out. We'll all pick the Raiders to win. Good luck, fans.
Hey, we were accurate last week, so trust in us.
Trust in us.
You know, Ted and I have a chance to get to 3-0.
Those are my two new mottos. Trust in us, and I'm not always wrong. I like that. Those are good.
10% of the time, I'm right.
Hey,
every
man, we're
time.
Due for a big week of Vic's picks. Woo! Gonna be a big one.
Guys, just big recommendation. All of Vic's best bets, put the money on the opposite. Like, I mean, if you had done that the last 2 weeks, like, you would be rolling right now.
You'd have a new house, but but it's early, man. I'm like Tyree Wilson, man. Got a slow start. I'm getting my timings off a little bit, a little out of shape. So, like me and Tyree, you're gonna bounce back, man. Just watch.
All right, big bounce back on Sunday for Vic, and big bounce back for the Raiders on Sunday night. So we'll see what happens on Sunday night, and we'll talk to you guys again next week.
Later.
Hey, Chuff.
Adios. Blame it on my ADD, baby.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.